This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, and we have a repeat offender, one of my favorite entrepreneurs in the entire world, a guy that I love watching as well as seeing, and he puts on amazing events and inspires so many different people in so many different ways. The incredible Ryan Pineda, welcome to the Playbook.
Hey, happy to be here.
So I've noticed your latest. We all know The Wealthy Way. We know WealthCon. We know the great content in the story of being an ex-professional athlete, a couch flipper, all the different things that we've produced together content-wise. But I love where you're going now. I started reading about the Kingdom Knights, and I'm looking for more young entrepreneurs to understand that it's not just the wisdom that you need to impart upon the people to help live an abundant life, but faith.
Yeah.
And wisdom and faith, to me, shortens that distance of resistance that so many of us have experienced, but so many people still experience today. I know faith has always been a big part of what you do.
Yeah.
But it seems to really, as you get more mature and elevated as an entrepreneur, be a critical component of your messaging and your brand. What's your plan with the Kingdom Knights and to utilize faith as part of your branding and part of your message?
Yeah. Well, to give some context for those who don't know, we have a nonprofit called Wealthy Kingdom, and the mission is to bring the kingdom to the marketplace. You know, instead of trying to get, you know, entrepreneurs to go inside of a church, let's just go straight to them. And so we've done this through a multiple of ways. First was just starting the small group Bible studies inside of offices. And so right now we have.
But was there any resistance to that? Like.
Well, it was in my office, the first one.
So you started here.
There ain't no resistance when you're the boss. Nice. So, you know, that was the start of it. And I'd been doing this for 8 years. So it's not like I just started out of the blue. I've been doing this. It was just simply the next stage of this. And so, we got people behind the mission, and now we have over 70 of them. And so my goal is to have 1,000 just groups meeting every week inside of offices.
And so, is there a certain day format? Is there a digital component of a virtual network of groups?
Yep. So most of them are physical, but we do have some virtual groups as well for those who maybe don't have a, let's just call it a chapter in their area. So we have our online community. And so every week on Monday, I have this week, actually, I gave a word and I gave a sermon for an hour. But every week somebody's given a sermon, whether it's our head pastor, whether it's a famous entrepreneur or somebody else. And you know, they do that every Monday. We have the community where they can talk. We have courses and everything's free. So all of these things I just said don't cost anything. It strictly runs based on donations and honestly me just funding it. So we have the online thing, and then we have also live events. And that's what you're talking about with Kingdom Knights. You know, I started just putting faith into my normal secular events. And so, you know, we have worship services. I bring a pastor every event. And that's just part of what I wanted to do in my normal events. But then I started running these faith first events. And so we had our Kingdom Summit back in May, had 1,000 people attend that, and, you know, had 100 people give their life to Christ, had the other 900 fired up and ready to go. And now I want to do something at an even like easier level. I want to go travel the country and do these things I'm calling Kingdom Nights, where, you know, we'll partner with a local church. We'll go hold like a 3-hour, you know, amazing event in their venue and just get people fired up, get people saved, get people, you know, into the church who would have never stepped foot into that. But because they see that there's a business event going on and everything else, it just opens their mind and their eyes to, you know, wanting to be a part of it. And then Saturday morning of that same event, I'd hold like a little workshop, you know, where we're just going to go teach them kingdom wealth building principles. Cause, you know, I think right now, Christians and money, a lot of people just don't think they really go hand in hand, when in reality, money is the number one topic in the Bible more than anything else. And so I just think it's like having that conversation and getting Christians to understand that, you know, we're creators. That's who God made us to be. So we need to create wealth, not just think about, oh, well, you know, this is my budget and I got to say, like, no, we can create.
Yeah, it's really interesting. First exposure I had to this type of philosophy was Billy Graham.
Yep.
He was one, to me at least, I may be wrong, but brought it. And I've done a lot of work with Joel Osteen as well that brought it to the marketplace.
Yep.
But a lot of people who study the Bible and believe in Christ don't believe in wealth. They feel guilty, resentful. And where the Bible actually says the more you give, the more you're given.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily say the more you give, the more you receive, because you actually have faith to do two things in my research. One, it takes a lot of faith to receive, because you have to believe that God has more than enough of everything for everyone, or else you feel guilty receiving.
Yeah.
See, if we were eating dinner and we had 1,000 steaks, we would not feel guilty or resentful of receiving steaks or asking for more steak.
Yeah.
And to me, the universe, God has provided everything, not just steak, but everything that you want. And it's really interesting, because it's going to take entrepreneurs like you and leaders like you that build an understanding of wealth within the context of faith.
Yeah.
Because it is misinterpreted. Jesus himself was extremely wealthy. If you do the research, right, he wore this amazing wardrobe. He was known as a contractor throughout. Literally a huge, you don't do that unless you have great wealth. Mother Teresa, believe it or not, go Google this, everyone. Check out her net wealth when she passed.
Mm.
The religion itself does not mean that you cannot be wealthy. In fact, the more wealth you have, the more you can give to others and take care of others, which, by the way, is why most people want to have faith and follow a religion and to believe in higher self and believe in Christ. For you, why do you think people feel, especially in business, guilty for receiving or even asking for more?
I don't know. It's just this idea that maybe you owe someone something or you didn't earn it or whatever else. But that's the whole point of faith anyways, right? Like, Christ died for our sins. Like, we don't deserve to be in heaven. You know, I'm not a good person. I've screwed up so many different ways. Like, I've had failed businesses. I've hurt people. I've done stupid thing after stupid thing. And yet God still accepts me because of what Christ did. And so, you know, if you have this mindset of I have to do everything, I have to earn everything, I'm self-made, I don't want a handout, well, then you're going against literally what Christ did.
And the humility that you have, you know, you, like me, are a perfectionist, but you know you're not perfect. And the construct between wanting to be perfect and not being perfect takes humility. I have a great quote that says, you're either humble or you're about to be. And
yeah,
our lives, you're a lot younger than I am, but anyone who has humility and understands, I'm going to continue to make mistakes, but doing our best and learning lessons is a big component of what we're here to do. In these different groups, are there certain curriculum or lessons, or is it just specifically whatever sermon is being conversed about that week?
Yep. So we create curriculums. So we have, you know, it just changes. Some days or some times it's like a 4-week curriculum, sometimes an 8-week curriculum. So for example, we're in the middle of an 8-week study about David slaying Goliath. And what it looks like a lot of things you wouldn't even think about with that story. And, you know, for example, like I just had my Bible study on Wednesday and we were talking about how when David is getting ready to go fight Goliath, King Saul is like, hey, you know, I want you to wear this coat of mail on you, you know, the armor, I want you to get a sword, all these things. And what we don't realize is he's trying to make David look like Goliath. That's exactly what Goliath is wearing. That's what a normal warrior at that time would wear. And it's like, well, are we called to be like the rest of the world or set apart from the world? You know, if David's going to go beat Goliath and show him, you know, what the one true God looks like and what he can do, he shouldn't look like him. And so David said, no, I don't need any of that, man. Like, literally, I'm going to go out without any armor. I'm going to get a slingshot. And I'm going to go bust this fool up.
Nice.
And you know, you just think about that when we lead, like we want to emulate our favorite entrepreneur. I want to be like Ryan. I want to be like this guy. And it's like, no, you should want to be like Jesus, because if you're just doing it like everyone else, you're not set apart.
Yeah. You want to walk like Jesus. And that's what sets forth with your curriculum, a divine direction. But as an entrepreneur, you're familiar with divine detours. And when I say divine detours, it's a matter of your perspective of how you see pain, setbacks, failures, mistakes, which you articulated earlier, are a big part of your life still today. Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time. Imagine starting a small business, your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast. How can we, within the context of being, you know, knighted in this faithful perspective, see the detours that occur in our life, the pain, setbacks, and failures as divine as the divine direction that we're in?
Well, I think it's important to note, you know, Romans 8:28 talks about how, you know, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And so God works for the good in every situation, right? It's not that, oh, well, this situation, you know, you're going to get punished and things are going to go bad. No, like you could still go through a tough trial, but as long as you're a believer, it's going to end up being for your good. And you take comfort in that, knowing that, like, dude, I've made a lot of mistakes where I went against what I knew my spirit was telling me to do. And I was like, well, you know, I'll justify it because, you know, this guy's doing it and this is happening and, you know, it seems good. And then you get into it and a year later, you're like, holy cow, what did I get myself into? And look, you got to pay the price still. When you screw up, you got to pay the price. There's lawsuits, there's lost money, there's, you know, reputational hit. And I've had to deal with all those things. But here's the best part about it is, like, even though I still have to face the consequences, at least here on earth, for a mistake, God is still going to take a stupid decision and use it for my good. He's going to teach me lessons. He's going to open a new door. He's going to shut a certain door. And that's going to lead me down this divine detour you're talking about. But I mean, look, I just want to be clear for everyone. Like, that verse and that promise is only for believers. It is not for everyone. So I'm not a subscriber into the universe. I'm not a subscriber into other religions. Like, that promise is not for people beyond believers. And so when you see things like Goliath, like, he's fighting him, he's going against God, he's not a believer. Him getting whacked wasn't for his good. It wasn't good for the you know, the Philistines. Like, it, that's the way it goes.
So we've talked about divine direction. We talked about the divine detours. One of the most intriguing things for me is divine time. Mm-hmm. Because it is just a matter of time. The idea of revelation is that time, man-made constructive time, the linear time that we live in, is part of the infinite time that is of Christ and is of God and the Spirit. For you, you're extremely effective with your time, mm-hmm. but you and I both, and I've watched, we're a little bit impatient with wanting outcomes that we think we can control at times.
Yep.
Of course, we will be humbled. Like we
I want it now, but yeah.
Yeah, you want it now, and we'll work towards that. But this idea of divine time is difficult as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You talked about some setbacks and failures that we both have experienced. How have you implemented the patience that is necessary with faith?
Yeah, I think that I call it having eternal perspective. And so if you're a believer and you believe that obviously there's an eternity, there's something that happens after this that is infinitely longer than we can fathom, then it makes you realize how small and insignificant this very moment is in the grand scheme of eternal time. And so, you know, a lot of times we want things done now. We are going through a really tough season of life and, you know, it's stressful and, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. But guess what? I mean, if you're listening to this, you've been through other tough seasons. You're still around, right? Like God has led me through so many tough seasons of my life. And I look back at it, I'm like, dude, I remember how stressed I was during that time. I never thought I was going to get out of it. I never thought I'd find the solution. And then here we are. And it's like, you have to always think about, man, if I look at the eternal timeline, like this problem that I'm going through is so minute and I already know what my future is. So what's it matter?
Behaviors, practices create progress. Good behavior is personal. And so is God. God is personal to you and to me and to anyone else. That progress is also difficult because some people's good progress is other people's bad progress, determinative upon their divine direction and where they want to be or better and their beliefs and et cetera. So we have to be accepting and forgiving because there's these differences that exist, whether it's religious differences, political differences, philosophical differences and spiritual differences.
Yeah.
And I believe that within the context of Christ, that we are supposed to appreciate at least the differences that everyone has in the way they see. And through that appreciation, adding value, that people will find the way. And as a believer, you are obviously a leader in this type of appreciation. You at a young age, man, you know thine self. I am, I think, is Ryan Pineda's moniker. you get who you are. And you didn't, even when I met you before, you have grown so much of knowing who you are. In that context of appreciation, in a period of time when so many people are looking for separation differences, how are you helping to unite people that we can appreciate the differences and start to believe again in something bigger than us that loves us, protects us, and promotes us more than our mom?
You know, I think that, you know, I know we're coming up on time. You know, this last couple of years has been a rough season for many entrepreneurs, myself included, investors, you know, real estate market not being great, businesses not being great, rates being high. Like, so I think a lot of people now going through struggle are now seeking answers. They're seeking truth. They're seeking peace. And what I can say is this. It sucks that it takes a tough time for people to seek, because when things are good, we're all just like, oh, things are good. I don't need to worry about, you know, anything else. Like, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. But then when things hit the fan, that's when we look for answers. And I just want to let people know that, like, the number one answer you need to look for in your life is what happens next, because there's only one, like, for sure thing that will happen. You're going to die. And if you don't know what happens next and you're not certain on what you believe, and we spend no, like most people spend no time even contemplating that. We're so busy thinking about, man, what's my next lead strategy going to be? What's my next offer going to be? How am I going to get the next deal? And we forget that, dude, like something happens after this. You're either dead and it's all nothing and, you know, just maximize your time here on earth and live it out. Or one of these religions is right. And in most cases, they do not allow each other to coexist. Like there's one truth. Like truth is not truth is not relative.
Right.
You know, truth is absolute. That's what truth means. And so, if you choose wrong, and you spent no time trying to figure it out, that seems foolish. So, you know, I don't know if that promotes unity or not, but it promotes that, hey, seek truth. And you shall find. Seek the truth. And if you earnestly seek and hopefully a hard time makes you seek, then I think you'll figure out that, like, the signs point to Jesus.
All great leaders are tested in order to be trusted. And you need to find your divine direction, understand divine detours and divine time in order to believe that there is something bigger and better. The truth is there, and you won't find the truth in every Bible, especially in the New Testament. You seek the truth and you will find it. And that's what this journey is about. I am so blessed to be part of your journey. I'm so proud of what you're doing, not just with The Wealthy Way, but in the kingdom itself and understanding Kingdom Nights and the program. If you want to live your life and accelerate who you are and who you want to become, it's leaders like Ryan Pineda that help not only in the marketplace, but in church as well. I'm proud of you, my friend, the incredible Ryan Pineda. I'm David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.